Good afternoon, New York, and the rest of our listeners around the globe. My name is June Stoyer, and I'm the host of the Organic View Radio Show. Our podcast is available on iTunes, Zoom, and all major podcast providers. So if you can't catch the show live, you can download it or simply use our free podcast player, which is available on our website at www.theorganicview.com. If you'd like to connect with us, please post a question on our wall on Facebook or send me a tweet at June Stoyer on Twitter. If you'd like to be on the show or would like to find out about sponsorship opportunities, please contact us at questions@theorganicview.com. Today's show is sponsored by MyMumble.com, one of the leading voice chat service providers with locations all over the world. MyMumble offers free 5-seat voice chat service for life, as well as higher capacity plans for any group that requires a secure environment for confidential communication. Listeners of The Organic View can receive 15% off on monthly recurring power servers by using the coupon code ORGVIEW. For more promotional offers, please visit our website at www.theorganicview.com. As we continue our special series called The Neonicotinoid View, which is the only radio show focused on the impact of neonicotinoids, my special guest co-host, Mr. Tom Theobald, and I will discuss this week's news. Today, we have a number of topics that we hope to have time to talk about, including information that we just received in regards to a new secret meeting with EPA. But first, I'd like to welcome to the show my special guest co-host, Tom Theobald. Good afternoon, Tom.
Good afternoon, June.
Always great to talk to you, especially about our favorite subject, neonicotinoids.
It's become the favorite subject of a growing number of people, and I think that's healthy.
Well, it's interesting that people enjoy talking about it so much that they have secret meetings with the EPA. This article that I'm referring to first appeared in Bloomberg BNA, and it's dated February 17th, and the title of it is Top Pesticide Regulators Met with Industry to Discuss Benefits of Neonicotinoids, and the article was written by David Schultz. This is so incredibly disturbing, and to me, the third paragraph really sums it up, which states, at the January 22nd closed-door meeting at the EPA's Arlington, Virginia offices, Mitchell and Nowak presented the findings of their own study, which found that banning neonicotinoids would impose $848 million a year in initial transition costs on the agriculture industry and lead to huge increases in the use of older, more dangerous, and less effective insecticides. How many times are they going to recycle that? I'm a master composter, and I firmly believe in recycling, so on and so forth, but this is ridiculous, Tom.
Well, I think it's more than ridiculous, and they'll justify it as just normal business conduct, but this sort of thing goes on constantly. They've given no special audience to the injured community in the case of neonicotinoids, which is the beekeeping industry. And I think we have to recognize that this is very carefully orchestrated to carry out the interests of these mega corporations that they're supposed to regulate. They're not regulating, they're facilitating.
I just want to read a couple of the comments, one in particular from Peter Jenkins, who's an attorney with the Center for Food Safety. His comment to Bloomberg BNA was, quote, it's a very close relationship. He earlier said, the EPA has an open door policy with industry to give these sorts of presentations. How come they don't have this sort of open door policy with the beekeeping community, especially since the beekeepers are the ones losing the bees?
Well, it's very interesting because there's a related subject that nobody would know about unless you were involved in all of this, and it has to do with what's called the Pollinator Protection Dialogue Committee. And it meets infrequently when it serves the convenience of the EPA, and they use this as an example of the inclusion of the beekeeping industry in the decision-making process. And there's been an incident that's taken place over the last couple of years, and it has to do with their labeling proposals. as it was discussed in the Pollinator Protection Dialogue Committee, PPDC for short.
Actually, it's Pesticide Program Dialogue Committee.
Okay,
yeah.
Anyway, PPDC. The beekeepers took a look at what the EPA was proposing, and they basically said, this is nonsense. The response on the part of the EPA was not to discuss that, but to take it out of the realm of the PPDC and delegate it to their state primacy agents, most often state departments of agriculture, because they knew that they could direct them to do what they wanted them to do. So this whole thing is structured to facilitate the interests of these mega corporations. And again, I'm not opposed to the corporations, but
I love the corporations. They're my biggest fans. But the bottom line, this is money. That's what it boils down to.
Yeah.
Money.
Yes.
Even in the article, he writes, the researchers, Paul Mitchell and Pete Nowak from the firm Agroinformatics, were responding to a recently issued EPA study that found treated soybean seeds with neonicotinoids provides farmers with no significant financial or agricultural benefits. Once again, no significant financial or agricultural benefits. And they found the same to be true in Europe. How many times do they have to do the research? And furthermore, how many times are they going to keep saying that these have a benefit when the only benefit that there is profit? That's the bottom line.
This study that they were hearing was funded by Bayer Crop Science, Syngenta, Valent, and Mitsui Agrochemicals. Now, they've given a special audience to this group, and we never get anything like that. But this is a carefully orchestrated criminal enterprise, frankly. And I've said in previous programs, these excuses and these subterfuges and these evasions and these time-consuming meetings and hearings and reviews will have some effect on the people, but because we're sentient beings, you can fool people. You cannot fool Mother Nature. And the bottom line is that we're dealing with a very carefully orchestrated criminal enterprise, and what they've accomplished in the case of this family of pesticides is perhaps the most massive poisoning of the earth in human history. I think we need to look beyond some of these individual incidents and recognize that we're dealing with a tremendous tragedy.
Well, Tom, don't forget that there is the lawsuit going on right now in Europe. So they have to scream, kick, yell, do whatever they can to prevent that lawsuit from failing. Because the bottom line, if they do lose the lawsuit against the European Union, that's it. Game over.
Oh, I don't think the game is over. I don't think they're going to let up at all because, as you said earlier, we're talking about billions of dollars here.
Yeah, but how foolish is EPA going to look if in Europe it's unanimous that they don't want neonicotinoids, yet it's tolerated here?
I don't think they can look any more foolish than they already have. But having said that, I want to say again, I think most of the working level EPA employees are being mismanaged and misused. I think most of them want to live up to the charter of the EPA and protect the people and protect the environment. I think what we're faced with here is a corrupt management from middle management on up, and once again, right up through Congress. We don't have a government anymore. We're governed by an unelected cabal of industrialists.
Well, Tom, you realize that having said that, that may just impact your business. Oh, wait a second. That's right. You don't really have a business anymore, do you?
Yeah. How about that? Isn't that something?
Mm.
You know, they're having these secret meetings, and they're meeting with these people, and we're out here dying.
Isn't it interesting how they manipulate statistics? I remember in grad school learning about the brilliant use of statistics to basically win any argument. In the article, it says, the researchers also conducted a telephone survey of 1,240 soy and corn farmers in the United States and Canada, which found that between 75 and 80% would continue to use neonicotinoid-treated seeds, even if non-treated seeds were available. I'd like to see who these people are. Are they resurrecting the dead? Are they talking to people who are not U.S. citizens? Who are they talking to? I just love these statistics that they came up with.
I've been involved in a lot of issues here locally, and I had to do some research on surveying because that was something that was being used against us. And there was something that stuck in my mind in one of the books that I read, and the statement is as followed, and that is that advocacy groups use surveys the way a drunk uses a lamppost for support rather than illumination. Surveys are trotted out like this all the time, and they're usually meaningless and worthless.
To some degree, it is. Case in point, look at this argument that they're trying to make, that all these farmers would still continue to use these products. It's almost like one of these made-for-TV product-type commercials.
No, we don't know where the truth lies. We don't really know what the farmers believe or don't believe, what they would like to do. Many of the farmers that I know would like to divorce themselves from these technologies because, you know, culturally they see themselves as husbands of the land, shepherds of the land, and it's very difficult for them to recognize that cultural identity with the fact that what they're doing is extremely destructive. It may be bringing in a little more money temporarily, but it's very destructive of the environment, and more evidence is emerging every day. As I said earlier, this is likely the most massive poisoning of the earth in human history.
Well, I would like to continue to extend my invitation to the listeners at Bayer Crop Science Syngenta. I'm not too familiar with these other two companies, but they're more than welcome to participate in the show. Unfortunately, every time I reach out, I receive a very polite response declining the invitation. It is kind of difficult to have an actual discussion about what's going on when certain parties refuse to speak.
They may be devious, but they're not stupid. They have nothing to gain from
it's a live show. Nobody's going to alter what they have to say. They are free to speak and say whatever they wish to. On this show, throughout all the years that I've been doing this show and so many other shows, I've had different government officials to industry leaders, what have you, on to discuss opposing positions. So once again, I extend that invitation. There's a contact form on theorganicview.com, or you can send us an email at questions@theorganicview.com. But please, by all means, the invitation is open.
Be real interested to see if you get a response, June.
Maybe I'll get a birthday card someday.
Well, maybe so, you know.
Maybe you'll get one, Tom.
You never know.
Another part to this is this. It says more than a dozen EPA officials came to the meeting, according to a list of attendees posted online. Why is it that there's so much effort made to communicate with industry, but yet that effort is not made towards the beekeeping community? It almost seems as though they're like the ginger kids or something. What is it, Tom? Why is it that the beekeeping community does not receive the same treatment as industry? Why is that? You're a commercial beekeeper. Maybe you can provide some insight into this.
Well, we're not a strong enough voice, you know. Also, at that meeting, were representatives from Bayer, Syngenta, Valent, CropLife America, and here's a good one, Responsible Industry for a Sound Environment. There's an oxymoron for you. We just don't represent enough power. This is really the exercise of power, and the corporations are in control. I began talking 3 or 4 years ago about the concept of corporatism, which was something that was new to me, and as I understand it, corporatism is the flip side of fascism. Fascism is the takeover of industry by government. Corporatism is the takeover of government by industry, and I think that's what we're seeing, and we're seeing it in every aspect of our lives. The corporations are in control. The corporations need to be reined in. Our own Justice Department has questioned whether or not these large corporations are too big to sue. It's completely out of control.
Tom, I'd also like to reference another part of this article in which it says, last year the White House issued a memorandum to federal agencies instructing them to develop a comprehensive federal strategy to address pollinator health. Wasn't that something that was supposed to be immediate?
Well, yeah, the proclamation gave the EPA 3 months to respond, and the response was, we're going to take our own sweet time. You know, maybe we'll have it in a year. Maybe we'll have it in a couple years. This is really complicated. This is a great mystery. Go away and don't bother us. We'll tell you when we've got something. You know, the corollary to that was the letter that was sent to the director of the EPA in September by 60 U.S. representatives. All right? And interestingly enough, that was just before the election, but let's set that aside for a minute.
Well, I haven't heard anything about it since.
Well,
I know
we've
I
heard
wasn't
nothing.
Communication. Exactly.
As far as I know, there's been no follow-up. They called for immediate response. There's been no response. It's simply posturing. However well-intentioned the president's proclamation may be, it's posturing. There's very little substance there. We're looking at an environmental disaster of massive proportions, and what we're getting is kabuki theater.
It's not as though this memorandum has been forgotten. You have organizations like Friends of the Earth, Center for Food Safety, Beyond Pesticides, Pesticide Action Network, so many big NGOs that are applying the pressure, that are bringing this up constantly. And if I may quote part of this memorandum, which was issued June 20th of last year, it says, quote, the problem is serious and requires immediate attention to ensure the sustainability of our food production systems, avoid additional economic impact on the agricultural sector, and protect the health of the environment. Now, the key word there is immediate attention. It's almost a year later. How
yes.
is that immediate?
Yeah. Well, I'll say once again, you can fool the people, but you can't fool Mother Nature. And we're beginning to see the consequences of these deceptions. We're beginning to see the consequences of this massive poisoning of the environment. And all the excuses in the world are not going to change that.
No, they're not. It'll be interesting to see if anything does develop. But once again, I think it was the third paragraph, which talks about the $848 million a year in initial transition cost on the agricultural industry. I think that's it in a nutshell.
We've seen the same arguments coming from Europe. And recently, there is an article that's come out that has shown that crop production is up in the absence of the neonicotinoids.
Yes, and I do believe that Professor Dave Goulson has some information that's circulating
mm-hmm.
as well. I recently received some information about that study, and once again, there's so much information that proves what neonicotinoids do as far as their impact on the health of pollinators, but also the fact that agriculture can thrive without their use.
Well, I think for farmers, it means that they won't be paying a premium price for something that they don't need. This is beginning to look more and more all the time like a bunch of flim-flam men who've sold the farmers on things that they are not delivering. Increased yield? Very doubtful. That was the reason they came to the secret meeting to defend the yield question, but we're seeing yield questions surrounding corn, surrounding soybeans. It looks like the farmers, to one degree or another, have been sold a bill of goods. But even if there were benefits, we have to balance those benefits against the ecological damage that's being inflicted upon the earth. They're making billions, but if you took those billions and restored the environmental damage that they've caused, these wouldn't be nearly as profitable.
speaking of which, Tom, let's take a few minutes and talk about the position of the farmer. Let's just think about what exactly the farmer is dealing with. In order to purchase seeds that are pre-treated, correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't the seeds that are treated GMO seeds?
Well, yes. The
it's the companion technology.
It's the companion technology.
Exactly.
Exactly, yeah. But, you know, the chemical industry was looking ahead, and the first thing they did was monopolize the seed business.
Of course. So, Jim Garrison has talked about that. He's been to court about it. He's the president of Escada, folks. Escada is the Organic Seed Trade Association, if I do recall. And actually, it brings up another subject, which is neonicotinoid use in Maine on blueberries, which I don't know if we'll get to that today. But the bottom line is that you're absolutely right, Tom. Industry was very, very smart. And they saw to it that the laws favored what their needs were as far as the use of this technology.
You know, there was an old term that's no more in use called monopoly. And I guess we just don't have monopolies anymore. And what we're seeing is not a monopolization of an industry. If you're a corn farmer or a corn farmer, let's just take that as an example. And I come to you and I sell this technology to you and convince you that it's going to increase your yields and you're not going to have to use as many chemicals. And so you buy this seed and you use it for 2 or 3 years and you realize that what you've done is you have impoverished your soil. You've killed everything in your soil. You're not getting the increased yields that you were promised. You're paying a premium price, and you decide you want to get out of this.
You
How
can't.
Do you do that?
You
can't.
It's trapped. Been proven time and time again. Case in point, Percy Schmeiser. I'm sure Monsanto loves it every time I mention that man's name. Percy Schmeiser, his whole story really explains what anyone that chooses to utilize this technology is in for. Because you can't just walk away.
Nope. The farmers are hooked. Once they get into this downward spiral, they've impoverished their soil, so now they're dependent upon these same companies for the fertilizer, and they're responsible to these companies for the pesticides and everything else. They are working for the company store. It's no different than the old company store model, and I've said that before. American farmers are trapped, and the U.S. government and the EPA and the USDA are all complicit in what we're seeing, and they're doing everything they can to offer up excuses and evasions and avoidances. And again, you can fool the people, but you're not fooling Mother Nature.
Certainly not. Which brings me to another topic that I'd like to squeeze in, which is in regards to the situation in Ontario. There's an article that was written by Michael Allen Marion from the Brantford Expositor, is that right? It says, Brant County Council is sticking with its decision to support the Ontario Federation of Agriculture's position, calling on the Ontario government to adopt a balanced approach to saving the bee population and not just restrict the use of neonicotinoids and cash crops. And then it says, Council passed a resolution in January supporting the OFA's position and its comments on the Ontario's government's discussion paper titled Pollinator Health, a proposal for enhancing pollinator health and reducing the use of neonicotinoid pesticides in Ontario. At the time, Council had heard a delegation from the Grain Growers of Ontario supporting the OFA position against the government's proposal to cut the use by up to 80% as the main way to combat the problem of bee colony collapse. So this is quite interesting.
Well, you're talking about the full-page ad? Is that what you're talking about?
This is...
Yeah, well, the same people we're talking about that had the secret meeting, it may be not exactly the same cast of characters, but they took out a full-page ad in several leading Canadian newspapers trying to justify their position. And it's been very effectively dissected by at least three different writers and researchers, and this is the old lamppost story all over again. The chemical companies are worried that they're going to have their profits cut into or be held responsible for what they've done, and they're launching an all-out PR campaign to try to push their side of the story. And they have the resources to do that. You know, I was thinking as we were talking about the secret meeting, I was thinking back to a meeting that the Canadian government had on the question of neonicotinoids, and the beekeepers came, weren't invited, but came to the meeting. It was a public meeting discussing their livelihood, and they were asked to leave. This is the attitude that we're dealing with, not only in America, but elsewhere as well.
Was Tibor Szabo at that meeting?
Yes.
There you go.
I believe he was.
He is such an amazing individual and very outspoken, very, very bright man, and is now, I do believe, the president of the Ontario Beekeepers Association.
Yes,
so I'm
yes,
sure that he is not going to back down, because every time that they throw one of their industry-paid scientists, he rips them to shreds.
We're doing the best we can, but we're up against tremendous odds, and we need the cavalry needs to come over the hill and help us.
We definitely do, Tom. And once again, thank you so much for joining me. And same time, same bad channel next week.
Thanks, June. It was a pleasure.
As always, Tom. And thanks, folks, for tuning in. This has been June Stoyer with the Organic Bee Radio Show. Have a great afternoon.